your age class bucks in your herd, that's what tightens your rut down. That's what gives you good hunting experiences as well.
Well, I tell you, it's and that's something that'll never change in the state of Alabama. We're always, would you agree with that, that we're always going to have a widespread rut? Where,
yeah, because we've got different varieties of deer in the state that rut differently by their genetics. So that's never going to change.
Hey, Rob, we have got some callers on the line. I know they want to talk to Chuck this morning. Let's get to line one and talk to John from Millbrook. What's up, brother?
Hey, man, doing good.
Absolutely, man. It's a beautiful day to be in Alabama, isn't it?
Absolutely. Listen, I'm doing something that would shock you. I'm going to work out.
There you go, man. You got that healthy lifestyle.
I'm trying. You know there's a woman behind it somewhere.
Yeah, that'll get you motivated. You sort of like that buck.
Yeah. I have a question for Chuck, though.
Yes, sir.
I do want to weigh in on this. At one time, from what I understand, way back, there were elk in Alabama. Is that correct?
May have been long, 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 long time ago. Not in recent history.
No, I know not in recent history. But
yes,
I'm just wondering, has there ever been thoughts of introducing them back?
It has, and when I first took the job, that was one thing that the deputy commissioner asked me to look into was he wanted me to work with Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation to see if we could stock elk back in the state. And we did. They did a assessment, and honestly, we do not have suitable habitat for elk in the state of Alabama. Elk are not browsers like deer. They're grazers. So they need a lot of open land, alpine meadows, little bit of timber. The largest, they were actually looking at Bankhead up there because it's a huge block of timber, but the habitat was just not suitable. There was too much of opportunity for depredation on farmers' ag fields and things like that. So it's just not feasible.
Okay. Well, that does make sense. I thought there was perhaps a reason for that.
Yeah, and if you look, Kentucky is a prime example of where elk weren't, but they have been restocked, and they're looking at old strip mine land that's been reclaimed, so there's just huge expanses of early succession, pasture-type situations in that strip mine land, and they have gone gangbusters. I mean, they have done an excellent job with their elk herd up there. Alabama just does not have that kind of habitat.
Hey, John, we appreciate you calling this morning. We got a good friend online, too. Not that John's not. John's a great friend also. But this cat, man, he is involved in the outdoors. Taylor Dees, he's one of the best quail guides I have met. He's a young man.
Yeah, he is.
But, buddy, you need to see his dogs. I know he's great into trapping. He is an outdoor person. Good morning, Taylor. How are you, buddy?
Good. How about y'all?
Doing
hey, I was
good,
paid
man.
To say all that. I was paid to say all that.
Yeah.
Taylor's
well,
one.
I appreciate it anyhow.
Hey, Taylor, man, you're one of the young bucks coming up that a lot of kids your age, you know, they just spend too much time on the computer and the iPad and Game Boy and stuff. But you're not the normal kid. You've been out there your whole life. I've known your great-grandparents to your whole family tree. But you are a true outdoorsman. You really enjoy trapping, and you really made quite a name for yourself, you know, here in Central Alabama, and we appreciate you calling. How have you been doing much trapping? Have you been running your sets, or how's that coming along?
Well, not lately. I hadn't been doing a whole lot of trapping, just a little bit of beaver trapping. You know, I just been busy. We're starting to think about the upcoming quail season and stuff too. You know, but I also don't love the water moccasins either, you know. So I kind of like to wait till they're moving before I get in the swamps and move with them.
Well, that morning we went out, those couple of days we went out, Taylor, you weren't too scared of them that morning.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'll do what I got to do, but, you know, I don't, you know, I have people call wanting to do jobs and stuff, and if they're okay with waiting till the cooler weather, then that's what I normally do. You know, but if it's just a problem that has to be taken care of immediately, we'll get on it.
So. That's right. What about coyote trapping? Which one do you enjoy mostly doing?
Say that again now.
Which do you find more enjoyment in, trapping coyotes or beavers?
I would say coyote trapping's more fun. Beaver trapping's more work. As far as people having problems, I would say that more people want to get rid of beavers than coyotes. You know, when they get in their ponds and stuff, it's time to do something. You know. But I would say that I enjoy coyote trapping more, but I tend to do more beaver trapping, I think.
Taylor, you know, I'm not a big trapping man, but there's one thing you do that I absolutely love, and, of course, your family, Deese Quail Farms down there, your dad, Derek. Your family's got a strong foothold in the outdoor business. Folks, you can go over there, the wildlife group. Alan Deese is at Buckmasters right now. But Taylor, I'm telling you, he is a superb quail guide. He's got some of the prettiest pointers you ever want to see. And, Taylor, you've been doing it for a long time in your life, but now you're starting to do it on your place, correct?
Yep, I do it on my place. Also, I'll go to other people's property, and that's probably people like doing that more than coming to me. They like for me to bring dogs and everything to them, you know, if they have a piece of property. I do that quite a bit, but yeah, I do some hunts on my place as well.
And then
I have regular customers that I guide for throughout the season too.
And you know something, folks, if you want to do quail, if you want to do pheasant, I mean, Taylor can put pheasant out for you. He can put quail out for you. These quail farms, they sell them if you want to buy them. But Taylor does a great job. Now, Taylor, I'm going to tell you something. We got Chuck Sykes in the studio, the director of conservation or wildlife freshwater fisheries. I still call it conservation. It's a lot easier to remember in my old mind.
Yeah.
But if you ever get him to come quail hunting with you, you better put out plenty of birds, because this cat does not miss. Rob and I had the pleasure of hunting with him down at Buster Reynolds' place through Great Southern Outdoors, and I absolutely enjoyed it, because you know what we get sometimes. We get folks that can't hit a pine tree, much less hit a quail.
Yeah.
But if you ever get
pointing at Rob.
Hey, Taylor, I know I'm a good shot.
I got video of that, Chuck.
I'm a good shot, but let me tell you,
Chuck goes out
there with a pocket, I mean, a half of a handful of 410 shells, and absolutely smokes everybody with 12 gauges.
Taylor, this is no lie, and I think I remember these numbers. He shot 12 times and killed 11 birds, and he was mad because he used 12 shells.
Yeah.
That's the type guy I like.
Those 410s are expensive.
Yeah. They are. Yeah.
Those are the fun guys to take hunting there.
You know what, Taylor? They can run through a course pretty quick, too, and it makes for the day that you can enjoy the activities after the hunt.
Yeah, and that doesn't put quite as much pressure on the guide, huh?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, there's nothing worse than when you take people out on the field and they can't hit, because not only are you frustrated because you want them to go home with some meat.
The dogs are frustrated.
Dogs.
Oh, yeah.
I got one dog. I tell people before I put him out, Speck, I'm going like, look, I need you to kill. I need you to kill, because this dog right here, if you don't kill, he's done for the day. You hear me? He's done for the day. He's going to go out and hunt on his own, and he's probably going to kill one more than you do.
Yeah.
What type dogs you got, Taylor?
Mainly English pointers. I have one German short hair, but everything else is English pointers. I have about 20 of them, actually.
Now, you've got a Facebook page.
Wow.
Yeah, and tell everybody how they can get to your Facebook page and look at your dogs.
It's Twisted Oak Kennels and Guide Service. Just look it up on Facebook, or you can look up Taylor D's, and you can get to it that way. And pictures of most of my dogs are on there. Here before long, there'll be a lot of updated pictures, because we'll really be working dogs and stuff, just getting them in shape, you know. So, and I have some puppies and do some training and stuff as well. So if anybody's interested in something like that, just give me a call.
Well, Taylor, you know, the state, I guess, is it the state or, y'all just bought, y'all just turned Boggy Hollow into a WMA. It's 7,000 acres. I got the press release came out this past week, but it's for quail hunting, and y'all are going to really manage the place for quail, but people can also small game hunt on the place.
What that was is a partnership between us and the National Forest, and they had a directive come down from Washington that they wanted a quail focal area in each district. So Carl Petrick's staff and my staff got together, and they selected this 7,000 acres down in the Kaneka National Forest that's going to be managed for small game, preferably quail. So you'll be able to have a 7,000 acre WMA that will have some archery deer hunts, but it's going to be quail hunted, rabbit hunted, and squirrel hunted. So we're offering some new opportunities out there.
That's great. We're taking care of the small game.
Oh, yeah, yeah, especially the people down there in the Evergreen Andalusia area. I mean, you know, the people listening to Power Pig, that's right in their backyard.
Absolutely. Now, Taylor, folks can look you up on Facebook. They can book a hunt with you. You'll go to their place. You'll bring dogs there. If they want quail, they'll want pheasant. You can help them out with that. And by the way, Rob, Taylor, what are you, about been married a year now?
Yeah, a little over a year, sure have.
He's got a beautiful wife. Jasmine is absolutely gorgeous. I know Jasmine.
Don't let Steve meet
listen,
her.
Listen, listen. Oh, she knows me already, and she likes me. I can tell. She likes me.
They all do, Steve. They
it's
all
probably
do.
The goatee. Yeah. You know, the gray and the goatee, it brings it out in them, man. They like that. But
I tell you what, she puts up with all my bird dogs and trapping and everything else, so I can't let her go anywhere, that's for sure.
Well, she's a beautiful girl. I know her dad. I used to, when we were young boys, that shows you how old I am, Jeff Andrews, and I don't know where she got her beauty from, because it wasn't from Jeff, I'll tell you that right now. You tell him I said that all over the air here in Central Alabama.
Yeah, Steve's got a big stick, too.
That's right.
I will. All right, guys, I got to go. I appreciate
you,
it. Enjoy talking to you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you
come
so
see
much.
Us.
That's right. Bye-bye. Twisted Oak Kennels, Taylor D's. He does a great job. Chuck, you know his family.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'll see Uncle Alan here in a little bit at Buckmaster's.
Folks, if y'all get a chance, go by Buckmaster's Day. I think everybody just needs to go out. It's only a can of food, man.
That's right.
And it's a positive thing for the city of Montgomery, the state of Alabama. The food bank, look at what it brings in for the food bank. It's fantastic.
My word, yeah.
But if you'll go by the wildlife group, Alan sells trees and does a good job with it.
He's got some. I mean, we've been using Alan's trees for 15, 20 years. I mean, when I was consulting and we needed hard mass, soft mass trees, got it. I even landscaped my yard when I moved to Wetumpka with wildlife friendly plants, and I mean they do a really good job.
Yeah. Well, they definitely got the future going on. If you're a deer hunter, he's got a persimmon tree that will drop in December and January. Chuck, most of the time, by the time I get out in the woods, persimmons are gone.
Yeah, if you don't catch them early October, they're just about gone. The coons have done cleaned the ones out, still hanging in the top of the tree. So yeah, it's early.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no doubt about it. And I got some pear trees my dad planted probably 25, 30 years ago. Man, they are loaded this year. The fig trees are doing real well. And those Japanese persimmon trees, they, I don't know, something's getting to them before they ripe. I don't know. But having a difficult time with that.
You're not using your green thumb?
No, I'm not using the green thumb. I just hadn't had a chance really to get down there and fix it.
Well, see, when you go down to Buckmaster's Day, and by the way, folks, National Land Realty will have a celebrity today in their booth. Mr. Rob Newman will be there. Won't you, Rob?
And Curtis Jones, too. So don't forget
really?
Curtis and
I'm
Jerry Joe.
What?
So, I mean, that's worth going for.
Two radio shows right there by itself.
You got Dale Hurst to be there and Ellis Peel Green. It'll be a packed booth.
Oh, my goodness.
That'll
you got a Peel Green in there?
It'll get thick, man. I promise
poor
you.
Pep. I'll tell you what. But if you go by there, go by and see Rob. Chuck, what time's your seminar start?
It's going to be at a break between the archery competition, so it's going to be between 1 and 2. That's the best I can tell right now.
And the topic you're going to cover?
I'm going to do updates on Game Check and then also some of the new programs that we're going to be implementing this year.
Absolutely. Hey, guys, if y'all want to be a part of the show, call us 240-9230 outside the Montgomery area, 1-800-239-9544. Cast and Blast Outdoors right here on Sports Radio 740 and the Power Pig 101.1 FM.